If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Man, I think we ought to give our renewed choir director a hand this morning, don't you? Boy, Jim looks good since he lost weight, don't he? That boy looks 50 years younger since he lost weight. Those of you that don't know, Brother Jim and Sister Jackie are in Missouri at a wedding. Of course, they had to do it at Branson. Something wrong with that story now. But they left going out there. We do want to pray for them that God will keep his hand on them while they're there during the wedding. And they're going to stay a day or so extra, spend some time with her family, and then ease on back here. So let's just remember them in prayer. Amen. Hate to say it, we probably missed her more this morning than him because we don't have nobody in the nursery. Glory. And y'all can tell him. I got one other thing I just got to do this morning. It's just eating away at me. But there was a gentleman had a birthday this week. And I appreciate him because he's, you know, it's a thing to have somebody turn 89 years old in your church. What's really aggravating though is when I found out he got a birthday cake and was told to give me part of it, and I ain't seen it yet. Brother Cobb, would you stand up? Let's give Brother Cobb a hand this morning. Brother Cobb's 89 years old this week. Amen. Now, he helps me out because I have people tell me they're too old to do something in the church, and I remind them that I had an 85-year-old woman teach me how to do bus ministry. Like to kill me. They sent me over there 2 or 3 weekends to Mississippi, and I come back to old Brother Hall. I said, look, I can't keep going over there and working during the week. The woman's crazy. She's wide open all day on Saturday and Sunday, and she was bringing in 160, 70-something people every Sunday to church. Hello? Now, you got Brother Cobb. He's over the Amen Food Bank, member of the pastor's council, comes down here and does stuff all the time, works with us in our prayer meetings, and we appreciate him. Amen. And we hope he's around for another 10 years. I'd like to, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could celebrate his 100th birthday with him? I think we could have a party on that. We may do a 90 next year so I can get some of the cake. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. And in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites, and he gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord, God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. And they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offering burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, to hissing, and ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword. Our sons, our daughters, and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, hey, you're beautiful. And I am glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on a simple subject. Why the church needs revival. We will be beginning revival next week. This will be the first extended meeting we've had since I've been here. And if it's just going to be a series of meetings, I'd just soon we call it off right now. I mean, we can get up some money and pay this guy and just tell him not to waste his time, but I want to see a move of God. I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready to see God begin to transform some of us in this building. We need a move of God. We need a revival. Amen. I, as an evangelist for 35 years, I used to get tickled. Pastor would say, I need you to come in here. I need souls saved. I need people in my church. I said, well, sir, I learned a long time ago my main job is to rev the church up. Hello? See, some of y'all looking thinking, no. Evangelist is to revive. You don't revive something that's already dead. You revive something that's dying and about gone and bring it back to life. Amen. Now, I'd like to see souls saved, and according to what I can figure out, we led over 11,000 people to the Lord in 35 years. But at the same time, I believe some of those good church revivals were just effective, if not more, than some of the times when I had 20 saved, because I saw people rededicate their lives, and I saw the church get revved up and begin to do something for God. And I'll be honest with you, church, I want to see God do a work in us. So we get so excited about what God's doing, we start turning people around that are around us, and we start reaching souls. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. You see, church, we live in a world that basically is falling apart. You say, what are you getting at? Look at the world we're living in. My Lord, we're running out of everything. But didn't the Bible say in the last days that was going to happen? Amen. There shall be sign the sun and the moon and the stars upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. That word perplexity came from a Greek word, which means to be without resources and wanting. So even 4,000 years ago, or 2,000 some odd years ago, Christ himself made the statement in the last days, we'd be running out of everything. I noticed in the paper yesterday, I believe it was, or one of the papers last week, that they stopped drilling in Utah and some of the places where they thought they could hit oil, because the EPA now is taking charge and the government's backing off from them, and some caribou ain't going to have a place to lay down, so we got to do without oil. I think we ought to kill the caribou, eat them, cook the oil, and just have a big time. Amen? Come on, church. I know I'm not popular with PETA, but I don't really care. Amen. The truth of the matter is, I like to treat animals ethical. I raise them, make them good and fat, then cook them and eat them. And I'm not picky about the meat, as long as it's dead and cooked when I'm chewing on it. Hello? Amen. But you know, church, the reality is we're living in a world that's falling apart even more than that. My God, we've got an argument in the world about whether or not, and this one was all over the news, the president's let the gay agenda down. Amen, because he's not pushing for more same-sex marriages, and he's not pushing for this, that, and the other. And this kind of stuff is just getting more and more mind-boggling in our world. I mean, we're looking at the possibility that if they pass into this new health care and it comes out like it is in other parts of the world, that after you get a certain age, they won't let you have heart surgery, they won't let you have anything done. I know when I was out there with Brother Wayne, the doctor actually made the statement to him, we need to get this done, because if they pass that test, you probably wouldn't have a surgery like this, because you could live with what you got. I don't know about y'all, but if I got a problem that I can live with, but I can get it fixed and live better, I want to get it fixed. Hello? But yet if this passes, I'm going to have to live with it. Euthanasia is already on the rise in America. Though what that is, that's where you help somebody die that might be dying in the future. You know, Dr. Kevorkian went to jail for it. It won't be long. The government will put him on the payroll. Well, you just go around to the places and call nursing homes and stuff and just turn off the oxygen, send you on out, and we get rid of them folks that's bleeding the government dry. I think it needs to start with Congress. Hello? Come on, church. Look at me now. Amen. But church, we're living in a world that's literally coming loose at the seams. Drugs have taken over again. You know, drugs got big, then they went downhill. Now they've taken hold again. And now it's other drugs. It's not the big stuff like opium and heroin and all that kind of stuff. Now we got meth and amphetamines and prescription drugs. And we got a world that's just messed up. I mean, we got people addicted to all kind of stuff. I saw last week where they now have a place where people go to stay to get unaddicted to the internet. Hello? And I've seen internet people addicted. I can quit anytime I want to. Sound like all them other addictions. When they know good and well, they ain't never gonna turn that computer off and they ain't gonna quit. They just gonna live their life through it. Come on, church. I mean, we've got people that are addicted to alcohol and they don't want to admit it. We got people addicted to everything else. I mean, we're living in a world where, sex has run crazy. I mean, we got folks that they think it's just, sex has become a billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar business in America. It's got to where you need to be. I'm going to tell you something I did the other day. I called Denise and told her, came to her and told her about it. I dialed a number trying to find out how much I owed on a ticket, and I couldn't see the last two numbers, so I wrote the wrong two down. Some woman picked up and she said, yes, sir, this is an adult entertainment line. I said, oh God, that's the wrong number. Glory. Now, I told her, in case that come up on the phone bill, I didn't want her to realize it. I mean, I'm trying to find out how much I own a ticket, and I'm about to get a big ticket. Glory. Amen. But you realize this is something. I remember one year, a few years ago, I put a credit card up to hold a room where I was going to be staying. And before I got there, some dude got the credit card number and everything and called and put $900-something on a credit card on a phone sex line. Now, it had to have been somebody had access to the stuff. And the phone calls were made from the office of the manager, but for some reason, the police department didn't think they had enough evidence to bring him in charges. Lord. You know what really made them not do it? Was when they called and I called the credit card company and they said, well, that's not a problem. We'll just hold the charge off. They called that company and they said, it's not a problem. We'll write it off. What's a few $100s when we make billions a year? And I'm thinking, my God, that's what's wrong with America. I mean, it's not let's do right. Let's just write it off and forget about it. And let's straighten. Come on, church. And that's the kind of world we're in now. We're in a world that's coming apart at the seam. And it's time, church, for the church to move into revival. Can I tell you those things that used to be outside are now becoming commonplace in the church? We're beginning to accept things we used to say was wrong, and now we're at a place where we need a move of God. The story that I read to you about today is a very good story. It comes to about a man named Hezekiah, the king of Israel. But now notice something. Hezekiah comes from a long line of family. Y'all heard me preach about this guy just a few months ago on Father's Day, because I used his dad, his granddad, as my message that day, a man by the name of Japheth. His grandfather, Uzziah, was a great man of God, prospered greatly, done great things in the house of the Lord. But he got so great one day, decided he didn't need a preacher, that he could just go in and do his own thing. And he offered up prayers at the altar, which was ungodly because it was against the law. The priest told him not to, and then did it anyway. And he was struck with leprosy. And because the family got upset with the preacher, they turned the whole family against God. Japheth, the Bible said, was a man who loved God but wouldn't go to church. Here's a guy raised his family not going to church. The next chapter was about Ahaz. Ahaz was raised up out of church, away from God, didn't understand what God was all about, and therefore he followed after the sons of Hinnom, burned his children in the fire. Can I tell you, we got folks today that have got kids that don't understand it's important to go to church. Come on, church. Amen. I know some of y'all said, well, they'll grow up. No, they won't. If you don't get them in church and make them understand church is important, church will be less important to every generation until we'll come to the place nobody will think church is important anymore. You understand that only 16% of the population of America is going to be in the evangelical church this morning? Amen. I don't know if y'all get the idea, but 18 or 19% of the American population will be in a Muslim church this morning. Nod your head. Those are statistics made by the National Association of Evangelicals. What we need to realize is we're at a point now where we need a move of God. Amen. Ahaz takes over as king. He don't know about God, so therefore he tears down everything, closes up the temple. No more worship. They're not offering sacrifices. They're not in contact with God. They basically closed the door on God. He puts up groves in high places to worship the other gods, start burning incense to the other gods, gives the other kings money to keep them from fighting with him. And the problem is, the whole time he's taking this thing downhill. He's taking his kids and offering them for sacrifice. Only good thing is he has a child named Hezekiah, whose mother was the daughter of a priest, Zechariah. And she takes that son and she hides him and she raises him up. And when Ahaz died, Hezekiah takes over at 20 years old the kingdom. And the first thing he does is said, we need a revival. We need a move of God. And he tears down all the high places and he goes in and removes all of that stuff. Can I tell you, church, some of us need to open up a door in our family again and let God begin to move and let the power of God begin to come down. Some of us need to reunite ourselves to God so that our families can feel the presence of his love. Could you say amen? Look at the state of Jerusalem in Hezekiah's day. Ahaz has taken out the portion of the house of the Lord and out of the house of God and the princes and gave it to the kings of Assyria. He went and took all the precious ornaments of the house of God and gave it to the king of Syria. Why? Because he just didn't think it was that important. Church, have we not sold out some stuff that used to be important to us in the church because we think we got, come on, church, smile at me. I mean, I've gone to conferences where they've told me you got to water it down or nobody will come to your church. That was a Church of God preacher telling that. I appreciated a couple of weeks ago when I went to the conference here in Birmingham and there was a guy up there speaking. He said, hey, you don't have to water down the message. You just preach the truth. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. You can build a church. Amen. I noticed at lunchtime that that fellow that was over there that had been making them other statements building his big church here in Alabama, he didn't bother to stay for the rest of the conference. Amen. Because this guy got up there and said, I liked him when he said, I have church on Sunday night. He said, I don't understand you little knuckleheads that think you can't preach twice a day. He said, I preach two services on Sunday morning, one church on Sunday night, been doing it for 32 years. Now, church, this guy ain't got no big church. He started with 16 people in the storefront. He runs 7,000 now on Sunday. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I'd like to have that. I don't know about y'all. I'd like to have that problem. Amen. You know what, church? The reality is, if we water it down, we may fill a church up with people, but we're not going to get them one to God. We're not going to make it ourselves. We don't watch what we're doing. And for that reason, we need a move of God. Amen. Now, notice this. He took all the precious things of God and he gave them away because he was trying to save himself. In the time of his distress, did he trespass yet more against the Lord? This is that King Ahaz. He went out and started tearing up everything, started selling the stuff in the sanctuary, giving it away. Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of the Lord, cut the pieces of vessels in the house of God, shut up the doors of the house, and made him an altar to every corner of Jerusalem. Amen. He started searching for all kind of gods to get help. Church, can I tell you, we got church folks today that'll pray and they don't get specific about who they're praying to. They just praying. I mean, they like some of these other folks. I told you I was at a prayer meeting close to this town several years ago, and a guy got up. He was from another denomination, thank God. But he got up and he started praying. He said, I pray to the God of Buddha, and I pray to the God of the Islam, and I pray to the God of the Hare Krishna. And then he finally got around and said, I pray to the Almighty God. And he come by me and he said, brother, what do you think about that? I said, I think you wasted your time, because I said, you talked to all them other gods before you called out on our God, and he's the only one can hear. Come on, church. Amen. Now, church, I'll go ahead and tell you, it was a United Methodist pastor. I've met him since I've been here. And when he walked by me, he said, I know you from somewhere. I said, you remember, sooner or later. I mean, I can't understand why that guy wanted to talk to a bunch of people that ain't listening. And as far as I'm concerned, they don't exist. He's going to get up and talk to all them other gods and then try to call on God. I got news for you. One of the top 10 says, I'm a jealous God. I'll have no other God before me. And church, some of us need to get to that place where we understand there is one way, one truth, one life, and that is Jesus Christ. And we got to get back to that. And that's what real revival is all about. Hezekiah takes over and he said, the first thing we got to do is get reconnected to God. We've had enough of this other junk and it ain't working. Can I tell you, church, we can trust in a lot of things in this world, but until we get back to trusting in God, things ain't going to work like we need them to. Amen. I got news for you. I didn't come here because I was going to get a certain salary. You know, I had somebody tell me what they said, brother, what would you do if your church cut you off? I said, you got to understand something. I don't work for that church. I work for the God that sent me there, and I've been working for it for 35 years, and I've never gone hungry yet, and I don't figure I'm going to start tomorrow. Come on, church. Had a guy one time cornered the pastor at Beale, told me, he said, you better realize what side your butter's bread, your bread buttered on, because I'm the one putting the butter on it. I was young, dumb, didn't know what I was doing. I caught him coming out the back door, and I said, you ever talk to my pastor like that again, I may leave the church of God, but you'll be gone before I do, because I'll bring charges on you. He looked at me sort of funny. He said, well, now, you need to understand, you not been in the church very long. I said, don't matter how long I've been here, I know better than talk to a man of God like that. Hello? Now, if any of y'all want to come tell me what side my bread's buttered on, realize I know who puts the butter on my bread, and it ain't you. I've been living for God long enough to understand that I there is a God. I ain't him, and you ain't either. And as long as I'm serving him, I got it made. Could you say amen? Oh, come on, church. Some of y'all are getting upset with me, but I'm telling you the truth. Amen. Notice number two, Hezekiah realizes where they are and takes steps to draw closer to God. Hezekiah chapter 29, look what he said in verse 4. He brought the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street, or the main street. And he said to them, hear ye me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord your God, and carry forth the filthiness of the holy place. Can I tell you, before there's going to be a move of God in our families, there's got to be a move of God in us. Before we ever going to see a community turned upside down, this church has got to get turned upside down. Come on, church. You say, well, preacher, you sitting there wearing us out. Let me show you something. Book of Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. But who may abide in the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them with gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord the offerings of righteousness. Now, church, what I did that for was make you understand something. Revival starts right here. It's not starting in that pew. It's not starting over there. It's going to start with me. God said, I'm going to sit like refiner fire, like fuller soap. I'm going to start with the ministry, and I'm going to work my way down. And church, I promise you that I'm looking for a move of God in my life. I'm ready to move closer to him than I've ever been in my life. But can I tell you that if I go, some of y'all got to go with me, or we're never going to get where we need to be with God. But if we'll make up our mind, I know what's wrong and I know the answer. The answer is not what I can do. The answer is not in my ability, but the answer is in a God who has all power, which is in heaven and in earth. And when I turn my face toward him, I got a God that can send a move of his grace. Could you say amen? Glory. Hezekiah understands that. He turns around and said, our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the sight of God. Church, you've got to first come to that place where you realize I'm not where I need to be. Hello? Notice what he said in the 10th verse. He said, now it is mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord, God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may be turned away from us. He said, God, I want to make a covenant with you. God, if you'll bless me, I'll work for you. And if you'll just do that, I'll be faithful to you. Can I tell you, church, if we'll covenant with God, it'll change a lot of things in our life. Amen. Somebody told me one time, a young man came to me one time, he said, preacher, how do I get a study life like yours? I said, first of all, I wouldn't shoot for mine. I'd go for something better. Hello? He said, no, I want one like you got. And I said, well, look, why don't you do this? Why don't you start studying more? You'll be surprised how much better your study life will get. So y'all's waiting on something spiritual. Ain't nothing spiritual to that. You want to know the Bible more? Start reading it. You'd be surprised how much more you'll know the Bible when you start reading it. Well, preacher, I want a better prayer life. Well, get up every morning a few minutes earlier and pray a little bit every day, and you'd be surprised how much better your prayer life will become. There is no magical thing. I can't give you a pill on Sunday morning. It's going to make you suddenly become a better person in God. The only thing that's going to change you is when you do like Hezekiah and realize, look, we've drifted. We're not where we need to be. And the only way we're going to get back there is make a covenant with God. That God, I'm coming back. And I'm going to open up. I'm going to get this rubbish out. And I'm going to start moving towards you. Some of us this week need to have a rubbish cleaning contest and get in our heart, get in our life, dig some things out so next Sunday morning we can be where we need to be. So we can help reach others for Christ. Could you say amen? Why is it quiet? I see some of y'all look at me like, well, preacher, I ain't talking to you no more. Hallelujah. Come on, church. I had one man confess it to me one time, and he looked at me and said, what do you think about that? I said, I don't believe I'd told nobody that. Glory. Hello? But church, when we realize where we are, then we need to do something about changing it around. Point three, do we need this today? Notice what Hezekiah said about his day. He said, our fathers have fallen by the sword. Our sons, our daughters, our wives are in captivity for this. Some of you come to me all the time and say, brother, pray for my family. We need a move of God. Can I tell you, till we turn our face toward God, we're not going to see that move of God we want to see. But as long as we keep playing with God, we're going to keep getting into trouble. As long as we keep getting out of the will of God, we're going to stay in torment and problems with the devil. But can I tell you that if I get in the place I'm supposed to be and I get my family around me, blessed are they who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, for they shall abide in the presence of the Almighty. If I get in that place where the angels of the Lord encamped around about me, the devil can't do anything to me. He cannot pull me down. He cannot take me out. And church, when we make up our mind, I've had enough of this, I'm going to turn my face toward God, there is not enough demons or devils in hell to keep a move of God from happening in your life and happening in your family. And it's time some of us said, wait a minute, if it's not just for me but my family, I'm going for God like I've never done before, because I want to see my family moved by the glory of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, preacher, you think I'm responsible? You can't always be responsible for what your kids do. I've seen good kids come out of bad homes and bad kids come out of good homes. But I can do everything I can, and that's all God ever asked me to do. He said, when you've done all you know how to do, stand still and see the salvation of God. Could you say amen? Listen, church, listen to the day we're living in. Truly, we're living in the last days. 2 Timothy 3:19 said, this know also in the last days, perilous times are going to come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. You know what that means? Totally out of control. Church, we're living in a world that's out of control. We got kids carrying guns to school to shoot their teacher because they got a bad grade. You know, the worst we did was mess the chair up where they'd fall out of it or something. And don't go practicing that because you don't like the results when they figure out who did it. Lord, come on, church. I mean, we got mad at a teacher. We'd get everybody else try to get mad at them. We'd go shoot them. We was in high school. You had a problem with somebody, you go bust them upside the head with something, y'all fight until both of you get tired of fighting, then you become friends. That's the way it worked when I was in school. Now, man, they kill each other. We're out of control. We're living in a world where people think they do anything, everybody's just supposed to forget about it. Can I tell you that if you constantly have to say you're sorry, you need to change the way you're doing stuff. Come on, church. I don't know why, but that one walked back up here beside me or something. It's like, hey, preacher, get in your own business. Oh, this is my business. If you constantly have to say I'm sorry, then you're doing something wrong. And you need to quit it so you quit and say I'm sorry. That's just common horse sense. But church, we're living in a world that's totally out of control. People don't care what they do anymore. You ride down the road. I mean, my Lord, you used to pull up in front of somebody, they'd blow the horn. Now they run you off the road. Trustful, Alabama, there was a guy. Hit a woman in the rear end of her car, pushed her through the median into the front of another car. They hit head on it, killed the woman and the person in the other car. He took off. Somebody got his tag number. This was his testimony. I was riding down the road on the cell phone drinking coffee. Get that picture. He got his knee on the steering wheel. The woman turned in front of him without putting her blinker on, said it scared me. I dropped my phone and I was in an important phone call. I poured coffee in my lap and it made me so mad I wanted to get back at her. So he hit her in the rear end, made her kill herself. That was about 3 or 4 years ago in North Birmingham. This ain't Los Angeles, this is here. We're in a world that's out of control. I've told this here, but I'm going to tell it again. I'm going off highway down here, headed to a revival one night. Dude got in front of me, and I pulled up behind him at the stop sign. He's come off the highway, and I blowed the horn. He jumped out of his truck, run to the back of my car, and jumped up on the hood. Little old squirrely dude. Had a big wad of tobacco hanging out. Looked like he had a growth on his face. I bet he didn't weigh 100 pounds. He's about 6 foot. I opened the door and got out the car. He said, what's your problem? I said, I ain't got no problem. I said, I appreciate if you get off my car. I weighed about 335 at the time, so I think he realized when I got out the car, he had a problem. He got down and looked at me and said, why'd you blow your horn? I said, your bumper sticker said, honk if you love Jesus. He looked at me and went, glory to God, jumped his truck and drove off. I just kind of stood there a minute thinking, what just happened? I wasn't far from here, so I keep wondering if one of these days they will go show up church. I will go, hey, I know you. Glory. But church, that's where we're living. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Can I tell you, we got people who go to the football game, won't go to church on Sunday. Huh? I made some folks upset the other night on Wednesday night, I think, because I was teaching. I was talking about people go hunting and fishing and won't go to church. But it's coming up hunting season. We'll have people missing on Sunday because, well, I work during the week and I don't get behind. I hope every deer in the state just goes somewhere you ain't. Oh. Put a sign out there, don't go, he's got a gun. I had a Sunday school teacher used to get mad at us playing basketball on Sunday afternoon. Oh, we'd go to Sunday school. He could be teaching on the two milch kine, pulling the Ark of the Covenant back from the Assyrian people, and he'd get off on us playing basketball on Sunday afternoon. That was his pet peeve every Sunday. He'd wear us out. Our God, this is Sunday. You ought not be playing basketball. Well, them boys playing basketball is the one got me in church. They was the one kept inviting me to come. He never said nothing to me that was nice. Y'all remember I told you there were some folks I wouldn't go to church there because they went there? I got him for a Sunday school teacher after I got saved. One Sunday he was gone. He missed the whole weekend. Come back talking about, I was out Montana moose hunting. I said, where'd you go to church? Well, I didn't go to church. I was on vacation. I went moose hunting. We got in Sunday school that morning. Lo and behold, right in the middle of the man at the pool of Bethesda, he gets off on us playing basketball. I stood up and I said, I'm sorry. Ain't none of us missed church to go play basketball, Mr. Moose Hunter. So shut it up now. Don't bring it up no more. Oh, whole class turned on him, and I didn't hear nothing else about Sunday afternoon basketball. Amen. The church, nothing wrong with hunting and fishing, as long as it's in the right priorities. But if it's more important than your family, it's more important than your God, you need to check your priorities. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captivity silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hello? Does that not sound like the day in which we're living? We got people that talk about how much they know and they don't know nothing because they really don't know God. Can I tell you, quote the Bible backwards, forward, and upside down, but if you ain't connected to God, you're never going to know the reality of what's in that word. Come on, church. Why? Because there's some things you ain't going to find out. Listen, there are two people in the church world I found to be some of the craziest people I've met in my life. One's a person who prays all the time and never reads the Bible because they'll get visions of stuff God ain't never gave them. Come on, church. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I've had people come up, brother, I had this dream. He give you some crazy dream. It was something I ate before they went to bed. It wasn't of God. If they have a dream or a vision, don't line up with the word of God, I don't want to hear it. God gives dreams and God gives visions, but they're always going to be according to the word. I tell you, the second person I know is pretty weird. That's a person that reads the Bible all the time and never prays. They'll find stuff in scriptures ain't never been in there. They'll start quoting stuff to you. And they'll make it sound like something and it ain't got nothing to do with what it really means. Come on, church. They can twist it up. They can tell you from over here where one verse of scripture, now cook it with this other verse and say, now the word of God said this and this, and you'll say, well, I know both of them's in there. And you didn't connect them before. And now you think you've got a revelation. See, if that be the case, then I want everybody tonight to go out and hang yourself. Bible said Judas went out and hanged himself till he was dead. And it said the scripture a few later, go thou and do likewise. Ain't no different what he just did. It just don't sound as good. Glory. I had a lady one time in my home church. She was a good lady, but she got mixed up with some folks and they were weird. Her husband told me one time, said, I had a good wife till she got saved. Bad part was I couldn't argue with him because she was a good woman. She just got with the wrong group. She was weird. Called me 3:00 in the morning. Brother Ken, God woke me up, said, you need something. What do you need? I said, sleep. Called me one night, won't know if I come cast the demons out of her. I said, sister, you're a born-again child of God. You can't have demons. She said, I got something. I don't know what she had. I wasn't going down there to cast nothing nowhere. Hello? Well, we got people out there. What causes that? Listen to what it tells us is going to happen in the church world. This is why we need a move of God. 2 Timothy 3:13. And I'm going to close in just a moment. They just turned the chili on. Give it a minute. It'll get hot. But evil men, seducers, wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is Jesus Christ. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, Can I tell you today, one of the worst things we got going on is some of the people preaching in pulpits who are drawing national attention as if they're really the authority of God, but they're not preaching this book. They're not telling us the truth, and they're deceiving people, and people are running to them and fooling scriptures that said many would heap unto them in the last days, teachers having itching ears, and they want to hear the idea that you can have a wonderful day. They want to hear, and I remember one guy used to preach, you know, he'd talk about positive attitude and positive relationships and positive and positive and positive, and he never gave a negative nowhere, and of course he'd be positive about your offering too. You ever bother you, these people who are supposed to have this great, wonderful faith, beg you for 30 minutes for money after they get through? If they got all that faith, what they asking for? I mean, I'm the same way about these psychics. Call 1-800-PSYCHIC-LINE, and I've seen some of you jump, so I believe I got you. Glory. If them psychics are so smart, why ain't they playing the lottery and winning, quit getting on the telephone, want me to call them? If they know so much, why give me the winning numbers? Go win the stinking thing yourself. Get a few $1 million. Let's forget you in the world. You know why? Because they ain't got that ability. Because all they can do is play on your emotions and make you think they know something. Come on, church. And I'll be honest with you, you got some preachers just as bad as they are. I had a guy call me out one night. I was depressed, and he called me up and laid his hand on me. He said, I want you to know this sickness is not unto death. And I'm like, hey, great, I'm not going to die. I'm just depressed. I mean, church, you're batting 1,000 if you ain't got something that'll kill you, and the preacher prophesies that to you. Don't look at me like that, church. We've had evangelists make a living kicking their right leg out and hollering something at you, and you think they knew what they're talking about because they got close. Had a guy one time call a preacher out, looked at him and says, I don't know who you are, I don't know nothing about you. Never met you before, have you? He said, no. He said, in the name of Jesus, God's finna pour out his spirit on you, and you're going to have an old-fashioned move of God in your life. And that guy shouted and run all over the place. A few minutes, he started praying for somebody and said, hey, pastor, come help me. It's the same guy, he said, he didn't know. I was standing next to a friend of mine who was in the ministry. He tapped me. He said, I thought he didn't know that guy. I said, well, undoubtedly he does. He's had a revelation. Church, we don't need psychology. We don't need somebody to play games with us. We need a move of God. We need a revival. Hezekiah understood he didn't need sorcerers or witchcraft. He needs somebody to come in, spellbind his people with a bunch of quick words. What he needed was a move of God. And the way to get a move of God was to get back to the house of God, get back to true worship, get back to reconnectivity with God. Can I tell you that's what we need? We need a move of God. We need to reconnect to God. You say, well, preacher, I'm not disconnected, but can you get better connected? Hello? Man, I remember when I was a kid, we had a phone, but it was a 12-party line. I like my private line now where I ain't got to worry about asking somebody to get out the phone to use it. I ain't got to wait to see what kind of ring before I answer it. I can just hear the ring and know that's from me. Unless it's the wrong number. Lord. Hello? It's one thing to be connected to God. It's another to have a private line. Church, that's what we need, a move of God. Would you stand with me all over the house? Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. Master, touch your people today. Draw us nearer to you. Oh, Lord, begin revival with us. Begin a move of God with us. Father, shake us today. Church, I make a commitment to you as your pastor that I am going to seek God with all my heart for this meeting. For this time of rejoicing in God. I'm going to start now because I want something to happen to me prior to the time we get revival going. I'm going to go ahead and warn you. If you see me going to this altar every night, don't think Pastor backslid because I'm coming to get something and that's where I'm going to get it. And I ain't going to wait around and see if y'all coming. Hello? I'm not just coming to go home or go out to eat after church. I'm coming to get something from God. And if this revival comes to the place I need to be, I'm going to be down here, and y'all need to come pray for me. Go pray for yourself. Do what you want to. But I'm coming to get something from God this next week. But I make a commitment to you. But I want to ask you, how many of you will make a commitment, God? You're not making it to me. You're making a vow to God. So don't just make it and be terse with it. But God, I want to do everything in my life to see a move of your glory. In my life, in my family, in my home. If that's your prayer, I want you to join me for a few moments in the altar this morning. Let's make a commitment to God. God, I want to see a move of your glory. God, I want to see a touch of your grace in my life. If you're here, you're not where you need to be with God, just step out and walk up with the people. And while you're making that commitment to God, God can change your life right now. Hallelujah. God, I want to see a move of your glory in my home. God, I want to see a move of your glory in my family. God, I want to see the touch of your grace among my lost loved ones that are not where they need to be with God, and it can't happen until it goes through me. Hezekiah realized we can't operate like this anymore. We got to get back where we need to be with God. Church, I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready to see a move of God to shake the foundations of this church so bad that everybody riding down the road is going to know something's going on. And it's going to start with me and you. Would you pray right now to that effect? God, I make a commitment to you. Father God, I believe you this morning to reach down and to touch and minister to us in this altar. God, those of us in the house of God, as we lift up holy hands to you and we magnify you today, God, we're believing you, Lord, to touch our heart. Begin a gracious move of your love in us today, God. Let the power of your glory move in our lives. Oh, Lord, let the anointing presence of your power flow in our heart. God, we give you praise, honor, and glory for everything we receive from you. But, Lord, we need a fresh touch. We are hungry for the move of your glory. God, we are thirsty for the touch of your Spirit. Lord, we believe you today. Pour out your anointing in us, God. Draw us nearer to you. Oh, Lord, let us feel your presence and your power like never before. God, save our loved ones, our neighbors and our friends with your glory. God, move. Oh, Lord, we give you praise for that we receive from you. Church, just reach over, slip your hand in the hand of the person next to you. If you're not in the altar, just put your hand in the hand of the person next to you where you are. I want you to pray for those people. Part of the armor of God in Ephesians 6 is that we pray with all prayer and supplication for all the saints. I want you to pray for God to have a move of his grace in every life and every family that's represented by this church. Father, we believe it now. As we come to you, we cry out to you. Not just for our family, but for every family represented here, every home represented, every life represented. God, we want a move of your glory. God, for your love and your mercy, we praise you and we magnify you. We believe you, God, for your love. Oh, Lord, send that anointing in our lives. Lord, break the yoke of bondage that binds those families down, God, and let your glory flow. God, in Jesus' name, we believe it, Lord. And we give you praise for that we receive from you. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name.